Hi, I'm James Schellinglaw for Insider Travel Report, and I'm here today with Steve O'Dell, who's the brand new Chief Sales Officer for Regent Seven Seas Cruises. And he's literally moving from Sydney to Miami as we speak. We're talking to him in Sydney, and the next time I see him, I guess will be Miami. And we're going to talk to him about his new role. And also what the future holds for Regent Seven Seas. And you'll find out that and a whole lot more here on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, Steve, how are you? How is life down there in Sydney as you're trying to get out of there, right?
I'm trying to get out of here. Yes, it's life's good. I mean, Sydney's a beautiful place to live, and I've been traveling quite a lot between Miami and Sydney as I settle into this new job. So I'm here for a few more weeks, and then I'm relocating to Miami in April. So home is focus at the moment to try and work out what we bring and what we don't.
That's always a tough, especially on that distance. So the fact is that you actually were at Regent Seven Seas before. You took a little time off, and now you're returning as Chief Sales Officer in Miami. But talk a little bit about your background, actually, with all the brands, for Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, right?
Sure, yeah. Well, I
Talk about that and how coming back to the company is very exciting.
well, I was hired by Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings in 2015. At that time, I was working in Europe for another luxury brand, Silversea, and I've been there for a number of years. And we were ready to come back home. And as luck would have it, Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings were looking to open an office here in Asia Pacific. And I met with Harry Summer, who's now a CEO, and Bob Binder, who was the deputy chair. And they hired me to do the startup for Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings in Australia and in Asia more broadly. And so I was employee number one. Had to find premises, had to exit us from GSA. Arrangements for all three brands. So I managed Tri-Brand for about 5 years. Then, and the business really took off. I'm pleased to say, we ended up with about 200 employees by the time I stepped out. And a huge business had been developed under my umbrella. So I think it was a big advantage to have oversight of three brands because you learn a lot about the company. But I think my expertise is luxury, and I slowly gravitated to two brands, Oceania and Regent, and then finally I've arrived at Regent. With three brands, it's a lot to know and a lot to talk about. But my specialism is luxury, and so I'm really delighted to be back here doing that.
Now, as Chief Sales Officer, what are you going to really focus on? To really optimize all the global sales distribution channels, and really develop a great relationship with our readers, who are travel advisors, your travel partners. So, talk a little bit about what your goal is as Chief Sales Officer.
Well, one of the things that I've learned very quickly since I arrived is that, we have a very sharp group of people in our sales group and with longevity and a lot of respect. And, this is a people business, and relationships are key to how successful you can be. My job is, how do we grow? How do we do things better? How do we differentiate ourselves from everyone else in the marketplace? And how do we arm our team with the tools to really help the trade? So that's the big focus. I think also, having a global knowledge has been an advantage as well, because we are an international company with international offices, and actually sharing best practice between those offices is also, I think, a big advantage in this new job. To have someone at Andrea's table as president who has an international experience, I think, is very beneficial, because the business operates differently in different places, but we can all learn from one another.
No, absolutely. And it really is. And you got a great team. I know Sean quite well. He's been there forever. He's well known in the trades, and so and now you're coming in, and you know, you really have all this international experience. Plus, as you said, the all three brands. So, and actually, you started before you even. I guess you said to me earlier that you kind of were hired at the christening for Seven Seas Grandeur, which is actually behind me. You can see the pool deck, but you got a chance to really get a real taste of the brand new Seven Seas Grandeur. I was actually on that christening christening cruise as well. We didn't get a chance to meet, but tell us from your perspective and what you heard from the trade partners, how did they respond to the new ship?
Well, I think it's nothing but positive. I mean, it's an impressive vessel. I mean, you know, if I look back, I was involved in the launch of the Explorer and the Splendor, the sister ships.
Right.
And I think the word that was used back with the Explorer in the very beginning was that it was a game changer in the luxury space.
Right.
You know, architecturally beautiful, great design, you know, and that combined with the incredible levels of service that we offer, you know, is a perfect combination. And each one of those ships has you know, surpassed the one before, because obviously when you build three, you learn what you're missing, what you, you know, you can perhaps enhance. Mm-hmm. And so the third ship, the Grandeur, really, I think is such a masterpiece. It's beautiful to the eye. It's got a residential feel, you know, with all the art on board that we've invested in. You know, it really feels like a home. You know, bespoke furniture pieces, really comfortable suites. You know, when you come there, it's really like coming into someone's home, and with all the service laid on top. And I think the other thing is we've refined the dining choices as well, with new menu items, new restaurant choices. So, you know, it's really the epitome of luxury in the cruise industry.
Well, obviously, I was on with you for that first sailing in December. You got a chance to go a couple more, I believe, but to experience all the food. I would have liked to do that actually, but the travel advisors that I met, were very impressed by it. They loved the previous ships, but you kind of pulled it all together, and this is kind of the end result of everything you've learned in the last two ships, right?
It is, absolutely. And you know, it's the soft touch stuff as well. I mean, you can have beautiful architecture and you can have the next best restaurant, but actually it's about how you deliver service and how you refine service. You know, I mean, you look at examples of it. You can go to some ships now and use a QR code to scan a drink. But, you know, this is a place where the barman remembers what you drink. And when you walk into the bar, mm-hmm. your drink is being prepared. You know, it's that kind of service. And the training that our hotel ops guys have really instilled in the whole staff on board is really excellent. And that's what people really appreciate.
Well, the Compass Rose is just a incredible, we're talking about restaurants, your main restaurant, is the showpiece. And it is a showpiece in this ship. It just lights up. I've interviewed your head of culinary and all that, the chefs on board. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing. That's where we had the opening christening dinner. But I would love to go back there another time to really experience for all, the entire menu.
That menu is a perfect example. I don't think you'll find a menu like that on any ship anywhere. You know, I mean, virtually anything you can dream of wanting to eat, you probably find in that menu. And I think sometimes we don't talk about that enough, because we talk about speciality dining. You know, I mean, everybody. Everybody likes to try the Asian cuisine or the Italian cuisine, or go to the steakhouse. But I mean, our main Compass Rose restaurant, I think, has the best menu at sea. And you know, when you look at the choices there, I mean, you can just about eat anything. So. Yeah.
No, it is amazing. You talked about like Pacific Rim with the Asian specialty, which actually the entrance there is, you always have a showpiece entrance, but the cherry tree at the entrance of that particular restaurant is really over the top. It really is amazing. And then you go to your steakhouse and you know, and then the Italian restaurant as well, which are just incredible and right next to each other. So you're not going to go hungry on this ship at all.
And the design guys have done a terrific job. I mean, you know, the theme was sort of Art Deco, 30s New York and Paris. And when you go to those restaurants and see the beautiful designs and the Chanel influenced designs,
Right.
they've done an outstanding job at making it feel very special.
Yeah, so you got a chance to try to sample to do sample that. Now, I want to change the subject a little bit. You recently announced a collection of sort of six immersive overnight voyages. Can you tell us a little bit about those cruises and why they are a little different from what you currently offer?
Yeah, well, this is a little bit about differentiating and thinking laterally rather than doing what we always did. If I think in typically building itineraries, the luxury cruise lines have sort of given a collection of ports and tried to offer as many things as possible in a 10-day or a 12-day voyage or shorter. And so it's sort of been pretty port intensive itineraries up to now. But when we're trying to target outside of the cruise bubble, we're trying to find people to travel with us who perhaps maybe go on land. They might go to 3 nights to Paris, 3 nights to Rome, and travel around on land rather than come to cruise. So what we're trying to do is get out of the box a bit and target those kind of customers. So this is a trial. We've created six itineraries with less ports, but every port has an overnight stay, sometimes two overnights. And the concept here is to give people more immersion into their destination. I'll use the Japan cruise, sorry, the Asia cruise as a good example. It's sort of particularly close to my heart. But here on this cruise in Asia, you have 2 nights Tokyo, 2 nights Seoul, 2 nights Shanghai. And you're really getting a chance then to, you don't have to get narrowed down to, one or two excursions. You could do four excursions on 2 days in a port, but we're also getting into overnight excursions where people can go to the top restaurants, touring the city by night to see the lights rather than seeing it in the day. We're really giving people a total immersion into the culture. And we've got six of them. There are five of them are in Europe, and then this one in Asia, and all of them have got that design of content. So you see four ports maybe in 10 days, but you really see them in depth. And it we're track. It's a little early to track numbers because it's been out for around 2 weeks. But you can see the attention pick up. Particularly, we measure everything that's out there, and the bookings are starting to come now for those voyages in a very positive trend. So, there are three this year and three next year, and then if we can really prove them to be successful, we'll definitely be doing more of them. But it's sort of turning tradition on its head a bit, and if you're leading the market, you've got to be innovative, and you've got to be ahead of everybody else.
No, absolutely. And of course, the trend over the past few years has been more time in port, more overnights, things like that. So you've taken this to another level. So that makes a lot of sense. And I know that's what people want. They want to see these ports. They have great dining on board. They're comfortable. It's incredible suites and incredible spa and everything else. But when they get off the ship, they want to experience the destination.
That's right. And I think, it sort of comes back to this value for money proposition of cruise as well, because, if you I use my own story already once in an interview, but I'll use it here because I think it's a very good demonstration. I had a year off and we had a bucket list, and we did some cruises and we did some land stays, luxury hotels, hiking, that kind of stuff. My credit card when I was on board ships was flat. I didn't spend any money. You
Because
have a
everything's included, right?
because
Everything.
everything's included. You could literally put your credit card away and not use it. As soon as you step on land, you're paying for everything because largely luxury hotels only have a room rate, and everything else you do once you arrive in the hotel is paid for. Your breakfast, lunch, dinner. You have to pay transfers to get to the hotel. You have to fly between destinations. So my credit card was spiking like hell when we were Paris and Rome and Athens and London, but on the ship it was perfectly flat. So I think that's a good demonstration of the value. Sometimes we know that that's the main selling point of luxury cruises, but it's actually a very with these immersive itineraries, I think you'll see how well they stack up from a value point of view.
Well, and often, at least with Norwegian Seven Seas, you also have included shore excursions and included events and things like that, where you don't have to spend either when you're off, but when you're off the ship.
And you know what we really loved when we went to cruises is that, you know, when you're traveling day after day after day, you get a very big laundry bag. And as soon as you arrive on board, you have everything clean in 24 hours. So, you know, it's a small thing, but, you know, for people who are traveling for a long time, that's actually, you know, a fantastic benefit. But everything, you know, Wi-Fi, I mean, you say excursions. I mean, you can choose unlimited excursions. You don't pay for to go to specialty restaurants. All of those things are included. And that's why it's such a good value proposition.
No, absolutely. And that's how I do my laundry, actually. I just keep on going cruise ships. I mean, why should I do it on my own, right? It's much, much better that way, right? I just have to keep
cruise ships. It's a right? weird story, but I mean, it's reality. When you do go traveling for months and months, you really need that.
Well, I'm about ready to embark on about a 2-month series of trips, and I'm going to have to find laundry somewhere on the way. But when I'm on land, it's going to be a problem. Let me tell you, that's something like that. Let's talk about one thing that you are going to be overseeing. Regent has done an amazing job with its travel partner program, Regent Elevate. A little bit about what that offers for maybe some of the advisors who may not be familiar, and how can it help advisors sell more Regent Seven Seas, and what are the components of the program?
Well, again, this is sort of taking our agent relationships to the next level. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you look at this program, we're really sharing much more than anybody else about how to do business. Mm-hmm. So Elevate is a piece of work that's in our travel agent center, and it's available to any agent that works with us. And it's got three components, really, but it's all designed to help our partners develop their business in a constructive and logical way. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we do is talk about insights. So we talk about who the customer is. You know, we've done a lot of profiling work over the past 18 months, a bit before that. We understood who our customer was, but now we understand in a more granular way who the customer is. And so within this insights, we identify four types of travelers that can be a target for an agent trying to develop first-time Regent customer. And we talk about their likes, their dislikes, where to find them. So there's a very granular look at the kind of customers that they should be targeting. And then the second part of it is how we support targeting those customers, the kind of tools. So it's basically a set of tools and advice on how to reach the customers, you know, based on the kind of work we do ourselves internally within our own marketing. So, you know, it could be, for example, if you're going to do email, if you're going to nurture a lead through emails, you know, how many emails do you drop? When do you drop them? What should the content be on each one? So how do you make a lead, a perfected lead that can drive a sale? So there's a whole section in that part of the Elevate program where we really guide travel agents to, you know, getting the conversion of the customer, the first-time customer. And then the third part is really tools to help make all that come together. So it's promotions, it's incentives. You know, we really believe in incentivizing the consultant at the front end. You know, obviously the organizations get compensated for their performance, but we're very much about trying to motivate and incentivize the agent who's selling to the customer. So we run a lot of trade incentives tied to our promotions. So, you know, I can give you a lot of examples, but, you know, essentially we try to do that around key selling periods like Wave, for example.
Sure.
So there's something in it for the agent and not only their company. And that is proving to be very successful as well. So Elevate's available to any agent to look at. It's in the Travel Agent Center. And, you know, we really encourage people to have a look at it because there's more in there than you'll find anywhere else in the luxury cruise sector.
Well, I know, and I've been listening to some of your team talking about it. I've been very impressed about what you offer, and I was like, wow, they do that too. You know, this is it, you really have it all together there, and I think you can find it all on the website, and you just go aboard. We're talking about whether Travel Advisor specials, you know, you can find a landing page for all of that.
It's easy to use, and you know, but you need to dedicate time to it. And I know everyone is busy, you know, busy selling, because selling tickets is the most important thing we all do.
But absolutely,
I think it's worth, you know, taking time out to have a look at it to see how you can benefit from it. Yeah. And, you know, and I think the ultimate investment you can make as a travel advisor is to experience product. And so we also now have early confirmed space travel agent rates that, you know, they're pay for rates, but we confirm early, allowing our partners to experience the product. And I mean, honestly, I think that's the best investment you can make, going to experience it yourself.
Sure.
Because, you know, you get there, you touch and feel everything. And then you really can explain to a client in depth what the experience is about. So, yeah, I really encourage that. And those rates are available to any travel advisor as well.
No, that's a great program. Now, let's turn to another topic. You recently announced a new partnership with Aston Martin, and I did a double take. All I could think of is James Bond and all that, but no, it's actually the Formula One, the Aston Martin Aramco Formula One team. How will this help promote Region Seven Seas, and how will the partnership work?
Well, you know, we're in a world of luxury, and you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we are all trying to find new customers, and partnerships are a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. And we've already invested in a couple of other big partnerships globally. One of them is with GHA, the hotel group. Mm-hmm. And also we have a partnership with Fabergé, of course, through Grainger's masterpiece, the egg in the ship.
Okay. That was a big at the last ship was huge. Yeah. And even your godmother was Fabergé. So that was
Sarah Fabergé. That's right. So these partnerships really are aimed to create global awareness and to, you know, to attract new to cruise customers. And so the Aston Martin Formula One partnership is all about that. You know, it's putting us in a high profile situation with one of the leading, you know, teams, and, you know, obviously a very elite brand in Aston Martin. Sure. You know, those F1 events all around the globe draw probably the richest people on the planet. And so we want to be in the right company, in the right places. So if you think about Monaco Grand Prix or Singapore Grand Prix, and now there are four Grand Prix in the US, those are, you know, a magnet for wealth and corporate partnerships that, you know, we would also want to be aligned to properly position our brand. So it's got limitless opportunities, to be honest with you. I think there's so much that you know, we really have to get focused on what we think we can get the best result from, but it's a very prestigious partnership, and we're really proud to be associated with them. It only launched last Friday, a week today.
Yeah, no, and plus you get your logo on the car. I think that's pretty cool.
We got our logo on the car. Yeah, we
did. Mentioned this. How do you think specifically the travel advisor community can benefit from this? You said it's a whole new affluent audience. More selling opportunities, things like that, right? And also, I think you're featuring some voyages that will be focused on Formula One, right?
Yeah.
The spotlight.
Oh, yeah, there are spotlight voyages that we're going to promote. But, you know, I think it's more about creating awareness for the brand, which will drive demand. You know, that it's a very, you know, I mean, holistically, it's a huge opportunity to create awareness for the brand. Mm-hmm. And then within it, there'll be some very specific things. Like we've been running a sweepstake, for example, at the launch with Travel Advisor incentives. And then, of course, you know, we'll have the events themselves, where we'll be able to host partners around the globe. So it's got, you know, it's got limitless opportunities. It's about building brand awareness. Luxury positioning. I mean, it ticks all the boxes, to be honest with you. And we're only at the very beginnings. So we're all very excited about it. And, you know, we're going to take the best things we can out of it to raise awareness of the brand.
No, absolutely. And I think there's even a contest where you can, if you make a booking, you're entered to win and register to win an Aston Martin race experience. I don't think this means you get to drive the car, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, it's still pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, getting up close and personal. I mean, our CMO was in at Silverstone last week doing the launch and came back super excited. And, you know, I mean, the enthusiasm you could feel. I'm sitting in Zoom meetings at the moment, mostly talking to my colleagues in Miami, but you could feel the enthusiasm across the airwaves. Everybody's super excited about
it. It's a fun partnership. And of course, Formula One really has exploded. You know, back when I was growing up, it wasn't that big in the US. I lived a little in Europe, so I knew about it. But boy, in the last few years, especially with the Netflix show and everything else that's going on, it's become almost, you know, everyone knows about it. You know, and when Hamilton just moved to Ferrari, it was huge news. My son's calling me. Everyone's calling it. Can you believe that? You know, so it's really visible now.
It's very visible. I mean, and this side of the world, I mean, you know, we have Shanghai now. We have the Malaysian Grand Prix. We have Melbourne. So, you know, the awareness over it, it's got a global reach, which I think is really, really important. You know, I lived in Monaco for a few years when I was working in my last job. And, you know, we lived in the heart of that in May every year for a week.
Of course.
It was electric. It was on fire with luxury, you know, cars, yachts. You know, it certainly draws the crowd. You know, most Monaco residents actually go away for a week when that's all happening.
I can understand
chaotic.
That. Yeah. Well, it's happening
it's
here.
Noisy and chaotic. But
it's happening here with Vegas and Miami, where you're going to be. It becomes all happening, and I think a lot of people were worried about the Vegas thing, but it turned out to be a great race, and people really enjoyed it. It's amazing. Yeah. And then of course Vegas just had Super Bowl, so boy, they're getting at everything. You know,
they're getting it all. Yeah, it's hard living in the middle of it. We did it one year, and then the other years we just got out of town because you can't go anywhere. The roads are the racetrack and. But exciting. I mean, you know, that just seeing the wealth that arrives with an event like that is
Absolutely.
Staggering.
It is pretty amazing. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how's Waves even going for you guys? You got a lot of different offers there. I think you have you talked earlier about you have a special landing page for all your specials, but things are going well, right?
Things have gone very well. We had a great January. You know, we exceeded our targets for January. February's off to a great start. We took the January promotion proposition, which was a two-category upgrade and a shipboard, and incentives, we elevated that in February with a Valentine's Day offer for the first 2 weeks, and now we've got some other promotions running for the back half of the month. So as well as what we did in January, we are just pushing up the notch a bit to keep the pace going. Sure. But we're very happy with the results for January and February so far. It's been a great wave. And talking to our partners around, it seems to be a similar story for just about everybody. You know, there's a burst in the enthusiasm to travel, and we're all making great gains from this wave season, for sure.
And you have some super ships to sell, including the latest Seven Seas Grandeur, which I thought was an amazing vessel. Now, is there anything else you want to tell our 126,000 travel advisors about Regent Seven Seas today? And is there anything else you want to tell them about what you hope to do as a chief sales officer?
Sure. Well, I think the task for everybody is to educate yourselves, make sure you know brands really well, take advantage of all the tools on the table, look at the individual incentives as well, because those are really an attractive way in which to, you know, to reward yourself. I say think out of the box, because we tend to really fish in the cruise bubble. We tend to focus on that because we know that's where regular cruisers are.
Right.
But I would really encourage travel advisors to kind of get out of that and look at hotel travelers, look at skiers, look at villa renters, look at safari customers. because I think when you look at what's happening for first-time customers, it's a big chunk of what we carry in a year. And there's a big opportunity outside of the cruise bubble. You know, don't get stuck in the cruise bubble
Right.
is my advice. And invest in yourselves. You know, get on board, go and feel it, so you can talk about it. Because personal endorsement is key, really. I mean, if you know a product and you can recommend it from your own experience, that's a big strength to the customer wanting to step out and enjoy a cruise for the first time.
No, absolutely. And that's definitely the way to do it. Now, where can travel advisors go to kind of get more information about Region 7 Seas and all the programs you offer to travel advisors?
Well, I mean, the best source of information is the website, of course, and the Travel Agent Center. Trawl around the website and have a look at what's there. There's a lot of helpful information. And of course, we have a big sales team. They're at your disposal. You can make contact with the sales team through that travel agent contact center as well. We have people all around the country who are experts that can share their knowledge, can work with you individually. Whether it's an event or whether it's helping you with EDM marketing or whatever training at the very basic level of support. We're there to help you with a big team of people. And, we're ready, willing, we're hungry.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, it's great to meet you virtually. Sorry we didn't get to meet on Seven Seas Grandeur during the christening, but I'm sure now you're coming to Miami, our paths will cross again very soon.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking
Absolutely.
Forward to talking more with you about Region Seven Seas and about cruising in general. Again, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today about all that's going on with Region 7 Seas Cruises.
Thank you, James. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to talking again soon.
I'm James Schellinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.